This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
6 o'clock. Nice job, Eddie Scazzeri. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Boomer Esiason, Craig Carton on The Fan, and of course worldwide on CBS Sports Network. Got a great show for you today. After a very interesting weekend of sports, and I mean all sports over the weekend, from a 3-on-3 tournament at Barclays that had 15,000 people going crazy, to a chip-in to win a golf tournament about 25 miles from here, to Yankees losing 10 out of 12, to the Mets sweeping the worst team in baseball and celebrating like they won a World Series. Lots cooking, and we're here to discuss all of it with you. Good morning, Boomer. How are you today, buddy boy?
Well, I think it's time to sound the alarm.
To the main stage. Boomer, to the main stage.
I don't know, man. I don't know what the Yankees are going to do, man. This is amazing what's happening to them right now, right in front of everybody's eyes, and everybody can feel it. And they've lost their confidence at home. And whether it be Pineda yesterday, whether it be Chris Carter earlier in the weekend, I mean, just the amount of stuff that has gone on that just does not look right. And usually when you lose 8 out of 10 or whatever it is, 9 out of 11, whatever it is, it doesn't look right. And, I think they made the right move by getting rid of Carter, who you thought was a great signing earlier in the year. But there's a malaise that is associated with him, and you could tell it and you could see it. And when that malaise starts permeating through the locker room and start, you know, guys just throw the uniform on there and go out there and play, all of a sudden, you know, things start going the wrong way. The pitching starts becoming suspect. Tyler Clippard, obviously, is suspect. You're brutal. There are a lot of guys that are not holding up their end of the bargain. Now, usually, I think we always talk about how teams even out. Somehow they even out during the year, and maybe the Yankees are doing that now. And I'm not trying to be funny here. I'm just trying to tell you they are a team that is in, like, a major, all of a sudden, decline. And it's one thing to lose 7 out of 8, you know, 6 out of 8, something like that. But to have it go and extend the way it is extending, and extending through a homestand against two teams that you should have at least won the series against.
I agree.
It is bad. It's just, and it's.
It's like when everything was going right for them, they'd get the timely hit, they'd get a great pitching, and then all of a sudden it's reversed. They're losing a lot of one-run games. You know, yesterday they're down 7-0.
I know. They have a chance.
I know obviously. They did,
but here's the thing.
A loss is a loss.
And Joe, and I'm kind of paraphrasing a little bit about what he said yesterday, said after the game, he goes, hey, look, you know, we're still in first place. We're still right there because the other teams around us aren't playing as well.
That's right.
They're kind of lucky, but sooner or later, once, you know, the other team all of a sudden takes them over, I think it's going to be good night. I mean, I don't know if you're.
I don't know that no other team, them included, has shown the propensity yet to go on the, you know, 18 out of 21 type of run where they separate themselves.
In their division.
Yeah, even when the Yanks were, 12 games over 500, the difference between first place and last place was 5 games.
Right.
So my gut is that's the way it's going to be this year. They will be in first, they'll be in second. They'll be in first, they'll be in second. Maybe they'll be 2 games out, 3 games up. And then in the next month, as we get closer to the end of July, the trade deadline, that'll determine, you know, the final 75 days of the season. But you're right. Everything that went right for them for the 30-day period has now gone wrong for them, whether it's injuries, which they're starting to have now, whether it's bad plays, you know, one-run losses, middle relief dropping something, starting pitcher being terrible. And the one game they won, you know, Tanaka showed that all of a sudden out of the blue, hey, he's a dominant pitcher. That was a great game against Darvish, right?
Yes.
And wound up going to extra innings and all that stuff. And you're right. The New York Yankees are in an area right now where they're very, very fortunate that no one else is winning a lot of games.
And here's the deal. The thing now, it comes to me now back to Brian Cashman. Well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do to try to refortify this? Do you overreact to the negativity that's going on right now? or do you sit back and let it play itself out, thinking that you have enough young guys, you know, and you lost. You're also going through some injuries right now.
Yep.
So
they might get Ellsbury back, but who knows?
So you're missing your second baseman yesterday. You're missing your center fielder. You're missing your left fielder, Hicks. I mean, there's a lot of guys that now are getting hurt. So they're kind of going through what the Mets are going through.
They just have the benefit of they had a cushion, which is now gone.
And they're pitching.
But at least they had a cushion.
And now their pitching is starting to show itself again. And as to what, you know, with CC out, which I can't believe I'm saying, because CC has had a nice bounce back season. I think there's a comfort with him when he's on the mound.
Yep.
But they're in trouble, dude. And I'm not trying to be funny either. I'm just, I talked to my Yankee friends yesterday, you know, because I caught some of the old-timers game. And I was thinking to myself, why don't the Yankees, and I think a lot of teams should do this. Like the Mets and Braves should do this, or maybe the Mets and Phillies, I would think, probably make a little bit more sense. You know, you try to find that one year where both teams were really, really good.
Yeah.
And you bring those guys together, old-timers.
Right.
You do a game in Boston, and you do a game in New York.
Oh, it'd be great.
Wouldn't that be unbelievable? Like, that's how most Major League Baseball teams obviously do their old-timers. They bring back all of their guys.
Right.
But what happens, one year you decided, maybe somebody that's listening at Major League Baseball will do this.
And do the Cubs, White Sox.
You do all your
Giants, Dodgers.
Find those years where they both were good. See if you can find the guys that are, you know, that are alive for most of those teams. Bring those guys back and do like a little rivalry old-timers day. You know what I'm saying?
I like it. Anything that gets more people in the ballpark and gives people a little extra bang for their buck.
Or I guess you could, if you were the Yankees and Red Sox, you've played so many games over the years, it really doesn't matter who you bring back, but because you're going to bring back and it's going to be Yankees-Red Sox.
Right. Yeah, listen, I think
the fans would love that,
I think,
actually.
If nothing else, you saw yesterday, and most of you didn't watch it, unless you were there, but you had 15,000 people at Barclays for a three-on-three little thing. You know, the big three that Ice Cube started. It went 6 hours, by the way, because there's like four games. You know, all the teams play every time. And you would have thought Allen Iverson was a conquering hero of New York, the way people went crazy for him. He barely played, but people were just thrilled to see him. He made one shot, and no joke, 15,000 people showed up for this one night only three-on-three basketball thing yesterday, which tells you it's got legs. It also tells you that we as sports fans are nostalgic. We love the great players and the big names, or even the iconic players that didn't pan out, and we love seeing them. And we want to see them. And it shows you, again, I was thinking about this coming in this morning. You had a bunch of recently retired to guys who are way past retiring, playing ball. And it wasn't the greatest basketball, but you knew every name on the court, right?
Right.
And it was a reminder to me how a lot of times teams and players lose sight of how much we as fans adore them. And root for them and want to watch them play and will forgive them of damn near anything they do on and off the field of play. Because when White Chocolate or, you know, Allen Iverson or, heck, Charles Oakley and Dr. J, when they're in the building, people still want to see them. We still want to applaud you. We still want to watch you do what you do, when you do the things you do.
It'll be interesting to hear from somebody who actually went and saw it, because I know that they did it on tape delay and it won't be shown on TV for another couple of days. I'd really like to hear, you know, what the thought process was and whether or not people were actually rooting for teams to win or they were just there to see.
The first game ended in it's the first one to 60 wins, and I forget who it was that made like a shot to win it. The place erupted like it was game 7 of the NBA Finals.
Did you go to it?
I did not go to it, no.
Okay.
I've seen some video of it, and I've read about it and talked to some of the folks that were involved with it.
Right.
But I did not. I was not there personally, and I regret not being there. It sounds like, other than it being 6 hours long, it sounds like it delivered across the board what
it's
said it was.
It's kind of interesting. Our makeup gal, Allie, was telling me this morning that she spent the day with Amy Trask,
okay,
who somehow, some way was involved with Swim Cash yesterday at this big three. I'm like, I'm trying to think, what would Amy be doing over there? I don't know if the CBS Sports.
And Cash would have only been there to do appearances.
Yeah, but I don't know if CBS Sports Network hosted something over there or not.
I think Fox has the deal. I thought they did, at least. I'm pretty sure it's an FS1 production, which will air this week. But Listen, it was all good. Then, of course, I don't watch a lot of golf, admittedly. Now, I could talk about golf like anyone, but I don't watch it unless it's a major or, you know, if Tiger's playing, whatever.
Well, Jordan Spieth is playing.
And your boy Jordan Spieth yesterday, again, I didn't see it live, but I've seen it since 500 times because it was awesome, man.
Yes.
Here you have a sudden death hole, and he's in the sand. And I liked it because that's most of our nemesis, the sand. We can't get out of the goddamn sand. We hit it. And then you see a guy out there who doesn't even really swing the club, and the ball perfectly comes out of the sand, goes in the hole, he throws the club, he's chest bumping, jumping up and down, and wins the tournament.
How about the...
And it was great.
How about the fans? How about the amount of fans that were there? So they love their golf up in Cromwell. Thank you, Alan.
I have to say, it was... If golf could somehow capture that moment, which it can't, it's not the nature of the sport... But that moment alone, I'll guarantee you that there are people who go out there today with a sand wedge on their favorite, wherever course they play on, and try to replicate that. I guarantee that.
By the way, Amy Trask is the CEO of the Big Three.
Is that right?
Yeah, she is. Yeah,
the CEO of the Big Three.
Yeah,
how does that happen?
Well, she's smart. She's connected.
Ice Cube from California. She was with the Raiders.
Exactly.
A little connection there.
So good for Amy. So
all
there
right.
you go.
Well, it was a big success.
She's like me. She's got a million jobs. Good for her.
Boy, how does that happen?
But you know, the thing about Jordan Spieth, though, that was awesome yesterday was just the whole reaction to it and the crowd. And if you watch CBS and you watched it over and over and over again, just the way the crowd reacted, you know, and look at how many people were there.
Yeah.
This is the Travelers Championship
20, 30 deep.
In Cromwell, Connecticut. The fans did.
And
the fans came
sudden,
out.
It's the extra hole.
Well, it's the extra hole. I mean, they both had lousy drives, and the reason he was in the sand, he couldn't get it to the green in two, and mishit it just light, just barely. And look, he did what he once did before. You know, his first win was at the John Deere out there in Wisconsin, I believe it is, or Illinois. I think it's Illinois. And he did the same thing to force a playoff.
Right.
And then he won in the extra holes.
Yeah. And then there's something going on right around 33rd and 7th. Now, you may know there's an iconic building right there. We know it as the world's most famous arena.
With an iconic team, the New York Rangers, and they started making trades,
we'll get
man.
To
it's
that
unbelievable.
A little bit later on today for sure.
Well, we're going to get to that a little bit later on today.
Because we'll get to it later today.
Because
it didn't Rangers happen yesterday. We'll get to it later today. There's something else going on.
A very, very big chunk of the successful product that they've been putting out there on the ice the last 4 or 5 years.
Yes, that's not where I'm going, though.
Oh, really?
Okay? No, and you know that's not where I'm going.
So what are we talking about? The other team in there that nobody cares about right
well,
now?
Well, no, there's a huge billboard
probably put up by guys who were booing the pick when they picked Porzingis fourth overall in the draft a couple years back.
There's a huge billboard and the billboard reads, "Don't trade Porzingis." Don't trade Porzingis, all right?
Maybe Porzingis bought it.
Maybe he did. Now there's I don't get to the whole company that's behind it and all that stuff. But the Porzingis thing has gotten interesting. Porzingis in year two, and you've mentioned this kind of on the cursory level, became an NBA player with all the negative things that an NBA player does.
That's right.
Maybe you spend one less hour in the gym. Maybe you spend one extra hour in a club. Maybe you're following the lead of a guy like Carmelo Anthony per se. So Porzingis had a tough year, too, but really fell into all the trappings of what an NBA player's life is. Here's the flip side of that. The reports are out there. Nobody in the NBA is now going to trade for Carmelo Anthony. And there's a couple things behind that real quick. Number one, he told Phil Jackson, I think I just want to stay in New York. And this is a genius move by Carmelo, and here's why. Carmelo Anthony knows that the Cleveland Cavaliers are waiting for him. He also knows because of the nature of his contract, they're not going to trade for him, nor do they have to. The situation got so bad between him and Phil Jackson, he cannot be a Knick. I think you'd agree with that, right?
I would think so, yes.
They are going to let him go. They're going to waive him. They're going to use that stretch exemption to help them salary-wise because as of right now, without getting too complicated, they still have a deal going on with Derrick Rose, which if they don't rescind all rights to Derrick Rose... He's $30 million against their cap right now, meaning they have zero cap space, all
right? Right, and your boy, the guy who writes for something that is Phil Jackson's buddy.
Yes.
What's his name?
I forget the guy's name.
Charlie Rosen or something like
something
that?
Something like that, yeah.
Whatever the hell that guy's name is?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's writing about how, you know, it was great to have Derrick Rose here.
Yeah. So here's the deal.
It wasn't great.
And Derrick Rose should not be a Nick either. But here's the bottom line, Boo.
Can they stretch Joakim Noah out?
They can't. No, they can't.
How many guys can you stretch?
They're going to stretch out Carmelo Anthony, and here's what's going to happen. And the rumor is that this is going to happen with Dwayne Wade as well. He's going to get released or waived. He's going to be a stretch situation, which I don't want to get too complicated with you on, all right?
Basically a buyout.
He is going to be a Cleveland Cavalier next year, as I've been saying for a long time. All right?
Yep.
He's going there. He'll take the veteran minimum to go because he's still got 50-plus million bucks coming from the Knicks. He will go to Cleveland. There's also a thought, you know, that Dwayne Wade opted in to his option year
right.
for 20-plus million bucks, that the Bulls might want to get rid of him too because of the money and what they think production is. You have right now the distinct possibility, since there's rumors of a three-team trade that gets Kevin Love out of Cleveland, that you could have LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, Dwayne Wade, and Carmelo Anthony all on the same team next year.
I'll tell you what, live,
and that is on the table.
Yeah, maybe you could do that, you know, take three of those guys and play in the big three.
Eventually they will. So the New York Knicks are looking at a season, again, of no chance of winning. And LeBron James, who just lost to the Golden State Warriors, you know, having three great players ain't enough anymore.
Right.
Now they got to go with four, regardless of age or ability.
Or five. Right.
They will go to the table next year with potentially Wade and Melo on the roster.
And then I'll say this. Guess what? And they'll still lose.
Probably. Hopefully. And if that happens, and it's absolutely alive and well that what I just told you is going to happen, the NBA needs to shut down. The NBA becomes a joke.
Well, let them go. Let them go. Actually, I'm actually pretty happy about that.
The NBA needs to stop conducting business the next day. You cannot allow that type of scenario to happen.
Players, you take
28 teams that suddenly mean nothing to a league and have two teams that can load up like that. The NBA needs to have a work stoppage and redo the entire system because it's broke.
Well, and listen, the players have run the league for a long, long time.
It's got to stop.
And this goes back to David Stern when he took over and he said, hey, we got to start marketing our players as individuals and stars to bring the fans to come and watch. And you saw last night or yesterday in that 3-on-3, look at Allen Iverson's the response to him.
Yeah, I mean,
it was unbelievable. It was off the chain.
80% of the place there had an Iverson jersey.
Right, exactly. So he's obviously still got a lot of cachet, but that goes back to the whole mindset that it's about the individual player and it's not about a particular team. And then once the players figure this out and they're able to manipulate the system, what are you going to do? You say you can't do it? I mean, they're doing it under the system. That's what they're doing.
You know how in the NHL,
you would do it, I would do it, everybody else would do it.
Let me be clear. If the Knicks had the ability to do it, I would applaud it. Of course,
by the way, in the NHL,
but it's bad for the basketball.
In the NHL, it's not like it doesn't happen, but the fact is that teams like the Rangers, like the Blackhawks, they can buy people out because they can afford it.
Yeah.
You know, that's where the money comes in to actually, if you manage it right, you could buy yourself out of some problems.
My thought was this. You know, the NHL has a new team, so they have what amounts to you can protect X amount of players. Every team's at risk of losing a player, so they can stock the new franchise with credible players, right?
They had the expansion draft last week.
So conceptually, that idea, and I'm trying to figure out the best way to explain it, I'll get to it later today, makes sense when it comes to NBA free agency. Because if Carmelo Anthony and Dwayne Wade go to the Cleveland Cavaliers, the NBA has a serious problem on their hands.
No, I think the Cleveland Cavaliers are going to have a serious problem on their hands.
By the way, I hope they do. I always thought, even though I'm a diehard Knicks fan, that the NBA had more than just two teams that mattered. Now, it used to be all I cared about was the Knicks, and as a fan, that's all I care about. But when you root for a team that sucks, and the nature of the NBA is set up that once you suck, you're going to suck for a long time because it's hard to get out of, you know, that cap hell.
Yep.
If you allow these types of things to happen, and remember this, David Stern stopped it once when he wouldn't let Chris Paul go to the Lakers, right?
Right.
Under the what's good for the league commissioner as the final stamp on everything.
Well, that's because they were running the What was it? The New Orleans Hornets at the time or something? Yeah, so they were running that team at the time.
Doesn't matter to me.
But they're not running the team. Adam Silver is not going to stand in front of any one of these teams or what they're doing.
I need Adam Silver on the phone, Al, this week. I don't care what day. Just find him today or tomorrow.
Well, those days you're not going to be here. I know.
Yes, have him on today or tomorrow, right?
Got to take the day off after your golf tournament because it's such a hard thing to do. I know it's your fourth year doing it, and it's a really hard thing to do.
No.
You got to take the next day off. That's hard.
I'm taking off because I get vacation. I'm going to take it. It just happens to be the day after my golf tournament.
After your golf tournament, it's a really hard thing.
It is very hard. There's a lot of drinking that goes on.
I don't think I've ever taken the day off after my golf tournament.
But you do your golf tournament at a different time of year.
No, it's basically a month before yours. I do mine on a Monday, so therefore I show up on a Tuesday.
In the ratings period.
And a lot of times, I'll either have my own hockey game after that, or I'll go to a Ranger game after that.
Right, in the spring ratings period.
But I'll still show up the next morning.
I take no time off. In the summer ratings period, we both take the majority of our time off. Got nothing to do with when my golf tournament is.
And I had a golf tournament in New Hampshire last week, and I still made it the next day.
Well, you didn't work the day of the golf tournament.
But I had to make it back the next day.
Yes, so there you have it.
Under the way you do it, I would probably take the day off.
By the way, I think you should have. I don't know why you didn't. But you did. I think you had 2 days off in a row.
Yeah,
you just take a Monday and a Tuesday off? I know Chris Christie was here twice, meaning that you were not here twice.
I know.
It is funny, our show. God forbid any one of us ever takes... Yo, the 5 weeks of vacation or 6 weeks vacation.
So what are we going to do? We're going to take pictures of when you're on the beach and how great this is and what a wonderful...
No, I'm not even... I'll tell you exactly what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I'm taking my daughter to see Syracuse.
Oh, okay, good.
Because she wants to check it out.
Best time to take her in the summer because this way she doesn't see the...
That's exactly right.
The Missouri and the
beautiful
great
daddy.
Clouds and the rain and the ice.
So I'm doing the college trip. First time I've ever had to do that. And then I haven't made any plans other than that. I may go to Lake Oswego because it's near Syracuse. And if I'm up there, I might as well do something, right?
Huh. Yeah, it's good. Getting around. New York State Parks,
Take my daughter to Lake Oswego. Right. Hey, Mickey, get Daddy another lure. We're going to catch some smallmouth bass.
There you go. Perfect.
Anyway, we got lots to do. The Mets actually won a few games, but it's irrelevant. The New York Yankees have lost 10 out of 12, and that is relevant. The New York Knicks are about to say goodbye to Carmelo Anthony. I'm not sure if that's even relevant anymore.
All right. You know, the New York Rangers also said goodbye to Derek Stepan and Antti Raanta. We'll get into that a little bit as well, as we will have later on. The New Jersey Devils' first overall pick in this year's NHL draft is coming in. A little bit of a surprise pick.
Does he speak Canadian or English?
I believe he's Swiss. I think he's Swiss.
Does he speak,
and I know that he's been playing in the Quebec Major Junior League, I believe.
Nice.
Not really a big surprise that they went for this kid over the other kid, Nolan Patrick, but from a Rangers perspective, we're going to have to play against him and Nolan Patrick over the next 10 years.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.